word in every class today. Bless the teachers and bless us as we look into thy word here. Speak, Lord, we pray, through thy word. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be our teacher, our instructor in the things of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you noticed in the news from Nassau, but the past few months, the Bahamas has received a number of new ambassadors to our country. The United States has a new ambassador. France has recently had appointed a new ambassador, and just this past week, the Republic of China, or Formosa, a new ambassador has come to the Bahamas. And, you know, I have been thinking very much about the fact that these people are special representatives of their country. They come to the Bahamas, or the Bahamas sends to the United States or Great Britain or wherever it may be. We send our ambassadors. They are called high commissioners, but they are ambassadors. And they come or they go with a special recognition. They travel on a special passport. They are representatives of their country. They're diplomats of high rank and stature. They are important. They have the trust of their leader, or leaders, whatever the case may be. These people are very important. And yet, in the scriptures, in the letter of Paul to the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, he makes a very important statement in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn to it this morning, because I think it would be good for us to remind ourselves of the fact that every Christian also is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. As I read that scripture, I say, you know, Lord, we really don't really realize or understand that we are also ambassadors. That's exactly what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We will read from verse 17 for a connection. Verse 17 is a beautiful verse. It's a favorite of many. Therefore, you see the word therefore, you will have to see what it's there for. Go back to the beginning of the chapter. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 5, you try it sometimes if you've never tried it. It's one of those chapters that you can read backwards and get as much sense out of it reading it backwards as you read it from verse 1. Go to verse 21 and read backwards. Don't try it in class this morning, but try it when you go home. And you'll find it makes as much sense reading it from verse 21 back to verse 1 as it does reading from verse 1 to verse 21. Try it sometime. But it says, therefore, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that wonderful? That's the new nature that God puts within us. All things become new. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just like a brand new baby born into a family. Only thing, it's a spiritual birth. It comes with all of the potential of being a mature adult. When a person is born again, they are born with the potential of becoming a mature Christian spiritually. Just the same as a baby is born into a family. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And then verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, in the light of all of this, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Think of that. That's a phrase I'm going to be dwelling on this Sunday and next Sunday. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that God will bless this portion of his precious word to our hearts. As I said, an ambassador is a person of high rank, a person of stature, a person who is trusted, who is looked up to by the leader or leaders of his or her country. But now, in order for a person to become an ambassador, they just don't become an ambassador. there are several requirements for a person to become an ambassador of his or her country. For instance, it would be unknown for our Prime Minister or President Clinton or Prime Minister Major or whoever it is, whatever country, it would be unknown for them to pick, for the British Prime Minister to pick an American to be an ambassador to the Bahamas. That's not done. Why? Because an ambassador must be a citizen of his or her country. They must belong to that country. And you and I, beloved, are citizens of another country. Remember that. Now, these are old truths. This is nothing new, but you know, Peter says we must stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And so we're reminded that we are citizens of heaven. Paul says in Philippians 3 and 20. He says, King James says, conversation. That's not the meaning of the word, conversation. Doesn't mean our talk. It literally means our citizenship. It could also be translated, our politics is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are citizens of heaven, so you and I, beloved, hold dual citizenship. Citizens of earth, citizens of the Bahamas, or if you're an American, or if you are from Canada or wherever else it is, you're a citizen of that country. But our primary citizenship is not on this earth. We are citizens of heaven. Now, we become citizens of heaven just the way a person becomes a citizen of earth by birth, first of all. Then we can adopt ourselves into another country. We can become citizens by adoption or by naturalization, and also in the spiritual sense. That when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not only citizens by birth, but the scripture says that we are adopted into the family of God, that we are brought into the family of God. We are given all of the rights of a full son or daughter. So we are citizens of our country, heaven. The old chorus, the old song, I don't hear it sung too often anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We are citizens of heaven. What a tremendous blessing. What a tremendous responsibility. I am a citizen of heaven. Yes, I'm a citizen of the Bahamas, and I should be a good citizen of the Bahamas, because a good citizen of heaven is going to be a good citizen of his or her country. But citizenship by birth, and so we are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, says Paul, and that is important because we are citizens of heaven by the new birth. We have been born again. Not of corruptible seed, says Peter, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. We are citizens of heaven because God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. We are citizens of heaven because of God's grace. The scripture says the grace of God, Titus 2:11, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So we are citizens of heaven, and as citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors to the people of earth. We have a tremendous, tremendous privilege, but also responsibility. And so the ambassador must be a citizen of his or her country. I want to ask you a question this morning. I hope you can answer it in truth. Are you a citizen of heaven because you've been born again? Are you a citizen of heaven because you have been born into the family of God? That's the greatest family in heaven and on earth, the family of God. It was wonderful to travel and meet Christians and meet believers and have a bond. To have that bond that comes through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us as citizens of heaven we have a responsibility. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, and it's one of those ifs that doesn't mean, it doesn't put a question mark, it means since. Since you have been raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, says Paul in Colossians 3. Then verse 4 he says, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And so we are citizens of heaven. And so as ambassadors, that is the first important thing. I can't be an ambassador for the United States of America because I'm not an American. I could be an ambassador for the Bahamas, but not for America or Great Britain or any other country. And so I'm a citizen of heaven, and so as an ambassador, the most important thing is that we must be, by birth, born into the country. The writer of the Hebrews says, we seek a better country. Now, we've never been to our country, but you know we can sure know about it, right? But we're traveling to that country. The scripture says we are strangers and pilgrims in 1 Peter. Stranger is a person away from home. A pilgrim is a person on his way home. So we are citizens of heaven. But now, a person just doesn't choose to be an ambassador. They must be called. So the second thing about an ambassador is that they must be called. I just wouldn't choose to go to the United States and walk through United States customs or go through customs here in Nassau. Or if you travel from here, of course, you have to clear customs in Fort Lauderdale or Miami or West Palm, wherever it is you're going. Well, one of us would walk through U.S. customs and at the port of entry. And they say, well, what are you here for? Oh, I'm here to represent my country. I've chosen to be an ambassador. They said, what? Where's your passport? And they look at your passport, they get out of this country. You're crazy. A person who is an ambassador has to be called. They don't choose. They are called by their leader, his or her leader. And so it is that you and I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be ambassadors for him. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. You and I have been called. Remember, the Lord Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee one day, and he saw some men fishing. Now, if you read John chapter 1, these men had already met the Lord Jesus. They had already come to him in salvation. Andrew, and we believe the other one that he met was John. Andrew went and found Peter. He brought Peter to the Lord Jesus. John probably found James. But we read that they followed the Lord Jesus, and he said, what are you following me for? They said, he said, well, Lord, we want to see where he's come and see. And they went with him, and they abode with him. And so they trusted him. And the very first thing that Andrew did was he went and found Peter. And you don't read of Andrew being a great preacher. He might have been. But he was a soul winner, and he brought a great preacher to the Lord. Now later on, at the Sea of Galilee, these men are fishing, and the Lord Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you to become, what is it? Fishers of men. So there is that calling, and the Lord Jesus Christ has called us. He says, I have called you. And he says, I want you to follow me. The important thing is, he says, you follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You see, it's the following him. When we follow him, he says, then I will make you to become something that you are not right now. You are fishers for fish. You fish, you're men fishing for fish. But I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. You will be able to catch men. You will be able to win men to me. You will be able to bring men into the kingdom of God. And so our calling, the Lord Jesus has called us. And you'll notice in the scripture, our calling here, it says in Hebrews 3 and 1, our calling is a heavenly calling. Again, you see the reminder? We are citizens of heaven, our calling is a heavenly calling. But not only is it a heavenly calling, but it's also a high calling, a holy calling. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, it says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We are to live lives that will be pleasing to him. Lives that will glorify him. And so we have a calling, and then it's a high calling. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so you and I as Christians are ambassadors of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are citizens of heaven, and we are ambassadors because of our citizenship, and we are ambassadors because of our calling. We are called to be ambassadors. That is a tremendous responsibility, not just the preacher, not just the evangelist, not just the the elders or deacons or the Sunday school teachers or those in carrying out various responsibilities in the local assembly. Oh, no, no. Every Christian, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say then, now then are the elders ambassadors, now then are the evangelist ambassadors, now then are the teachers. No, he says, now then are we. And the we is everyone who back in verse 17 has become a new creation in Christ Jesus, who has been reconciled to God, verse 19. We are all ambassadors of Christ. I think sometimes as I read this and I read this and I've been reading, you know, this has been freshened in my mind because I've almost seems like every week I turn on the radio or I pick up the newspaper and there I see a new ambassador has come to the Bahamas. And I have been impressed with this thought again, that we are ambassadors of no less stature than any ambassador that comes from another country. But the ambassador is not only a citizen. I have all of these in C. Easy to remember. His citizenship, his calling, and the third thing is his commission. The ambassador receives a commission. He just doesn't go, or he's not sent to the world, or she. The person who is called to be an ambassador must be a citizen of that country. They must be called, but they're commissioned to a certain country. It may be the Bahamas. Or, in some cases, because of finances, they may say, you're an ambassador to the Bahamas and the Caribbean. Or Jamaica, or it may be certain countries. But that person receives a commission from their leader. And every ambassador of Jesus Christ has received a commission. Remember in the upper room after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. And he said to them, he says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So we have received a commission. Now our commission is broader than any ambassador's upon earth. Because the ambassador upon earth, if he is sent by the from England, by the Prime Minister and the Queen, that person is sent to the United States of America or to the Bahamas or wherever it may be. But our commission is a lot broader. It is to the world. In John 17 and 18, in what we refer to as his high priestly prayer or the real Lord's prayer, the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17 and 18. He's praying to the Father. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so, he says, have I sent them, that is us included, into the world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now that was not just given to those disciples and those apostles, as you read there, not to that small group. You see, when the Lord Jesus spoke to that to them, he was also speaking to us. And the same commission that he gives in Matthew chapter 28 and one in after his resurrection, when he gives what is termed the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and verse 19, he says, in verse 18, he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, in verse 19, he says, go and make disciples. The King James, the authorized, says, go and teach. Literally, what it means is go and make disciples of all nations. That is the responsibility of each one of us in one way or another. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. When we lead a person to Christ and they become a disciple, a follower of his, the next step is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. You see, there it is the responsibility of the people who make disciples to carry them further to be baptized. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here this morning and you've gone as far as faith in Christ, but you've never been baptized. That is a responsibility of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, an act of obedience. Then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, it's not just leading a soul to Christ. it's carrying them further. That's what a class like this is about, and other classes. That's what's so important, that we go further. And so the Lord Jesus says, this is my commission in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he says in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, it does not mean, as the baptismal people who teach and preach baptismal regeneration, by the way, in the Mashaba community, we have at least two churches that openly teach this. They openly teach. They say that's a part of your salvation. They use this as one of the verse. And you know, it's strange. They always stop right there in the middle of the verse. Bang. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's what it says, you know. But read the rest of the verse. He that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say he that believeth and is baptized not. He that believeth not. The emphasis, of course, is on belief, as we know. But there again, you see the responsibility on the person who receives Christ is to be baptized. In Matthew 28, the responsibility upon those who make disciples, we are to teach them, we are to baptize them. So there's a dual responsibility. Those that believe, they are to be baptized, and those that lead them to Christ are to make sure that they're baptized. Last June, just a year ago, in Marsh Harbor, we had a baptismal service. It was really unique for me because I had the privilege of actually doing the one of the elders. But I had the privilege of baptizing a whole family. It was a Canadian family that had come there. They were spending some time on a boat. They started coming to the chapel. They were looking for a place where they were all Christians. They came out of a church background that did not teach immersion, but they saw it in the scriptures. But the father said he had resisted this because of the, you know, tradition in the church and so on, and he had resisted this. And there was that day, we had it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that we had, depend on the tide there, got to have a pretty good tide to get a good baptism. But the thought was this, that here was this man and his wife and three girls, 14, 12, and 10. And they all went out as a family and they were baptized together, one right after the other. I tell you, it was a very touching thing. And then there was another man who had waited for a number of years, who had resisted it. And he said, I want to be baptized. And he was. And what a joy it was to see this. You know, this is a part of the Great Commission. So the Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned us. And He's given us a commission. He's given us a commission to let other people know that He is the Savior of sinners. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can be changed. A woman can be changed. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power to change people's lives. And thank God, in spite of all that's being said and done, there is still power in the gospel. The gospel can still change people's lives. It's still happening. God's word hasn't changed. So the Lord Jesus Christ has given us an official commission. Now are we carrying it out? Do we realize that we've been called to be ambassadors of Christ, every one of us? Do we realize that we received a commission? But then fourthly, and I'll stop here, I'll finish it next week in God's will. One of the things that you read or hear about when an ambassador comes to a country, they present their credentials. They present their papers. Don't you hear this? Ambassador so-and-so, the ambassador is a Chang from the Republic of China, he presented his credentials to the Governor General. Or if it's a lady, she presents her credentials. It's their official papers. You and I have credentials that we are to have. You see, we're not only ambassadors because we're citizens of heaven, we're not only ambassadors because we have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ and commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, but you and I have credentials. that we are to present to the people around us? What are some of the credentials that we should have? Number one, if I were to speak to the ambassador from China or the United States or Great Britain or wherever it is, one of the things that they would be able to tell me about, or should be able to tell me about, is something of their leader, of the leader of their country. They would have a knowledge of the leader of their country. If I were to ask the ambassador from the United States, tell me about President Clinton, and he said, well, I don't know the man, I never met him, I don't know anything about him, I wouldn't think very much of him, would you? Well, one of the credentials of a good ambassador of Jesus Christ is that he knows his leader. Somebody has to say to you tomorrow, tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know him very well. Huh? Is that what we'd say? I don't know him very well. One of the things that is very important is that we have a growing knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to grow in grace, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11 and 28, we have the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can say that's salvation. But in the next verse, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. By the way, you know, you can't be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ and yoked to something else or someone else at the same time. I can only be yoked to Christ, or I'm yoked to something else. An animal cannot be yoked to another animal and yoked to something else. And so when he says, take my yoke upon you, it means that we're going to be joined to him in every aspect. And we are going to work together with him in every aspect. This is why the Christian should not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Because, well, the scripture says in the Old Testament, you don't take an ass or a donkey and an ox and yoke them together to try to plow the field. Why not? Why not? It won't work. Why? Because their natures are different. You try to put an ox and a donkey together and you'll find confusion. So it is also with a Christian. I find so many young people today, they still think that they can disobey God's command to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Oh, don't make that mistake if you're here. Don't make that mistake. Be yoked together with the Lord Jesus. Now he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, but learn of me. Learn of me! Have a growing knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And the only way we're going to get a growing knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is if we have a knowledge of this book. The more we learn of him, the more we will be able to tell others. And you know, we don't have to go around and buttonhole people and grab them by the collar and say, I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus. But as we move around, as we reflect the beauty of the Lord Jesus, as we, in circumstances, people notice and see, hey, you know, this man is different. What makes this woman tick? What makes them different? Why are they this way? And they will sometimes come and say to you, tell me, why were you so calm in such and such a circumstance? You'll be able to say, would you like me to tell you? I can tell you because, you see, I have one living in my life, one that is in control of my life. His name is Jesus Christ. He's my Savior and my Lord. And many times you don't have to go out and to preach a sermon. But if they see it in my life and they see the way we react in certain circumstances, they're able to say, unsaved person, and say, well, wow, you know, why, how come you were so calm? How come? this has happened to Christians many times. How is it that you can go along and carry on when things are so dark? It's because, you see, I have a peace in my heart that these circumstances can't give me and they can't take away from me. It's because I have a power in my life. And you see, we have a growing knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and naturally we can share with people. And we can tell them what makes us tick. It's because we know our leader. We know our Lord. And we know our Savior. And the more we know about Him, the more we can help and share with others. How's your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it growing? Are we learning of Him? Are we learning that He is indeed meek? You know, we think sometimes meekness is weakness. Not weakness. You know what meek, the word meek means? It means power under control. It means it has the thought of a horse that has been broken. That horse has power, but the power has been brought under control. It has the idea of a soothing wind, but that same wind can become a ferocious thing. But you see, it's under control. It's soothing. And so it is, beloved, with us. It says, one of the things He wants us to learn is to be meek. Is to display the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. To have joy in the midst of all of the circumstances. What do you do when, as a case of this young couple, they were beautiful Christians, and the first baby was born very badly deformed. And the nurses were wondering what was going to be the reaction. And so one of the nurses listened in when the daughter and son called their mother, her mother, to let her know. And they said, tears coming down their cheeks, but they said, Mom, we want you to thank God that God has blessed us with a very special child. God has entrusted us with a very special child. And that news spread. The nurse wasn't, but they wanted to know. They knew these people were radiant Christians, and they were witnessing to the nurses, and they said, how are they going to handle this? And the nurses saw how that young couple handled that situation. And as a result, several of those nurses on that floor gave their life to the Lord. They weren't different. They weren't angry. They said, Mom, God has entrusted us with a very special child. You see, they were good ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And they were able to represent the Lord Jesus. You know, an ambassador must also be a firm believer in his country, or our country. Do we believe in the country we're going to? Huh? Sometimes we don't display it. You know, I find there's a growing contentment among many Christians just to be happy in this earth. The Lord Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Beloved, let's not get our roots too deep. Let's not forget that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Let's not forget that He's going to take us out, and everything that we might accumulate in this life is going to be left right here. And so we must realize, you know, sometimes I heard a man, somebody said to me, he's always talking about the coming of the Lord, but he's still wanting, you know, it seems like he's never satisfied. That's a contradiction. Now, I don't mean that we're to go and live as hermits or do as some people did when these people are predicting all the time. They went and sold everything and they, you know, no. The Lord Jesus says we're to occupy till He comes. But if we're a good ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must recognize that this world is just passing, just transient. That our home is in heaven, our rest, our life, our future is in the glory. And so the ambassador presents his or her credentials. Are we presenting our credentials to the world? A growing knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A desire to go to be with Christ. to go to that country which is better, that place that is not made with hands, as Paul talks about in the early part of chapter 5, that house that is eternal, not made with hands in heaven, is in heaven. What kind of an ambassador are you? What kind of an ambassador am I? Now then, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Let's just bow for prayer. Thank you, Father, for this thy precious word. We pray thy blessing upon it. Again, help us to remember that we are ambassadors of Christ. As we walk the streets of Spanish Wells, as we move about in North Eleuthera or Nassau or Miami or wherever we may go, as we serve on the boats and fishing, or we work on the job in the community, we go to Nassau or we go wherever we go, help us to recognize, O Father, that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors because we are citizens of heaven by birth. We're ambassadors because we have been called, we have been commissioned. And help us to present our credentials to those around us. That we have a growing knowledge, a growing and intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want people to travel to that country. We want to invite people to come to the land to which we're going. So we'll be able to tell them how they can get there. We can invite them to come with us, join that happy, holy, heavenly van as on to glory we go. Bless us as we go through this day. We pray with thanksgiving in our Savior's ever precious name. Amen.